when darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out any grave. There's resurrection power that can stay. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. Yes, it is now. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out angry. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, I'm standing in your love. Oh, I'm standing on the rock. Oh, I'm standing in your love. Oh, I'm standing on the oh, I'm standing in your love. Oh, I'm standing on the rock. My firm foundation. Yes, you are. Oh, I'm standing on the rock. Oh, my firm foundation. Jesus, there's still a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, standing in your
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we are in the love of God, just like Brother Corey was talking about? You know, Scripture tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And God loves us with a perfect love. Amen? Unbelievable. Thank you, Lord. Pray with me just for a second. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we honor you, we magnify you. We thank you for your sweet presence. We thank you, Lord, and we just worship you for what you've done in our lives this morning. But we're hungry for the very revelation of what you would do in our lives tonight. We just wait on you just a moment. We want to yield to you, Lord. We don't want to get ahead of you. We don't want to bind you up. We want to allow you to do what you would have to be done, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. All of your word is good. All of your word is faith building, Lord, but there is a time and a season, Lord, so just speak through us. The very timely word, fresh manna from heaven, what you would have. Anything that would hinder, anything that would try to limit, we bind it in Jesus' name. And we thank you that for your Spirit promised to lead us and guide us into all truth. Let that be, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we get born again, we get washed in the blood of Jesus, and you know, you're just, the Lord puts a white robe of righteousness on you, on me. This wasn't what I'm was going to preach on. I don't think I'm going to preach on. I don't know. But anyway, I just want to say this. We need to be very cautious, though, and that robe is white when he puts it on you and I, but we can stain it. And so we need to be very careful and stay in a place where that blood's flowing. Amen? There's going to be a great marriage supper. Amen? And you and I are going to be a part of that. And that marriage supper is going to take place at a time many is going to be unaware. But there's Jesus makes this statement in the gospel or in the book of Revelation to the apostle of love. He says in John Revelation 19, 7 and 8, he talks about this marriage supper, and he says that the bride, the wife, the betrothed of the Lord, has made themselves ready. And so just because you and I ask God to forgive us of our sins, thank God for that, but we got to continually make ourselves ready. Amen? And Jesus said in Ephesians 5:27, he said, I'm coming after a church without spot, blemish, no wrinkle. And I don't know about you, but I am going through a lot of temptations and a lot of struggle. And I just want to encourage you just to be cautious, but to trust in the Lord. I mean, he saved you. He's going to keep you. But just be cautious and stay in that place where that blood's flowing. Amen? You realize that Esther, she spent a year getting ready to come in the presence of her king. And I think I can say a little prayer and come into the throne of grace. I mean, I'm not trying to understand. We don't need to belittle what God's given us. Amen? We need to honor it and appreciate it. And you know, we want everybody to come to church. But just because somebody comes to church don't mean they're going to heaven. You know, and we're responsible to tell people the truth. All right. Open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4 with me, if you would. Or Galatians chapter 3 first. Let's read Galatians chapter 3 first. While you're turning there, Sister Victoria, could you put 1 Corinthians 3:23 on the screen? Who do you belong to tonight? Now, the first time I ever heard that phrase was when we went out to the Gospel Lighthouse to try out. Actually, we went out there to fill in. I didn't know he was trying out, but we went. And the very first thing four or five different people asked us was, who do you belong to? I'd never heard that phrase or that statement in my whole life, and so it really threw me for a loop. But I asked you tonight, who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? And ye are Christ. Amen? Oh, glory. And Christ is God. So that means because of Jesus, you're in the family. I'm in the family of God. Amen? We belong to God. Now, I want you to just let that stir. I want you to hold that verse in the forefront of your mind. And I want you to just be in the place and the position when the enemy comes against you to tell him, I don't know what you think, but I know what God says. I am Christ. Amen? I am Christ. And so tonight, what's on my heart, make a little note if you want to, because I want you to take this home with you. I want to talk about believer benefits. Believer benefits. Because we're in a deal right now where so much is coming against the Church of the Living God, coming against Christians, believers, is the devil's just trying to get us to survive. But God's called us to thrive. Amen? And so I want us just to go over a few things. It's what's on Brother Whitby's heart, too. What we have according to the Scripture and who we are. Amen? So Galatians chapter 3, we'll go to 4 in a minute, maybe, Lord willing. Verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Notice what the Word of God says. You might just mark these last four verses down here in your Bible where you'll have them. For ye are all the children of God. Now, he's talking to the church at Galatia. We're at the church at Dover. But it's the church of Christ. Amen? Glory. That's who we are. Not the denomination, but I mean the church. For you are all children of God. How? By your faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, now mark this down in your mind's eye, and heirs according to the promise. And heirs according to the promise. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to just think about this. This epistle is written to you and I. And to think what he said. He said, because of your faith in Jesus, you're a child of God. I am a child of God. And that means being a child of the Almighty God. We're not of this world, just like Scripture says, but we are of heaven. We're pilgrims passing through. And the laws of heaven is what determine what regulate what deliver into your life. Amen? You're not limited. You know, in this world, when we were living in this world, and this world was our source, this Babylon system, it determined how much money you had and how much you didn't have. But when you become on God's system, all of a sudden, it wasn't about how much money your paycheck was. It wasn't about how much money that you had in the bank. It was about how much God that you had in your heart. Amen? And we got to get to a place and a position where we stop looking at what we have in the natural and look at what Jesus Christ has gave us in the spiritual. Because you are the richest person on the planet. Come on now, every one of you, you have been blessed. We're going to look at the scriptures. You have been blessed, the Bible says, with all, not some, not a little bit, but all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's not just some of the promises and the provision of heaven, but it's all the promises and provision of heaven. And heaven, gold means nothing. Gold, you walk on it. Oh, glory. Diamonds are hung up for doors. Glory be to God. There is no sickness there. There is no sadness there. God Himself, but the Lamb, is the light. Oh, glory. That's where you're from. That's where you operate from. And so a believer has benefits. We have benefits that's not of this world. We have provision that the world cannot touch. They have not even tasted. They don't understand it. Amen? But you and I, we're going to learn to live it before them and let the God use us that we know and serve to provoke others to jealousy, where they'll be drawn into something greater. Amen? So let's talk about that just a little bit. Now notice what he said. He said, for many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost picked your spirit up and dunked your spirit in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God impregnated your spirit. You become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And not only is Christ in you, but He's on you. That robe of righteousness, that's who you are, amen? And so your benefit now is completely different. It is greater than we've ever come to operate in. But in these last days, Daniel prophesied, he said that in the very, very last of the last days, knowledge is going to increase. Amen? And that's where we're at. Knowledge used to take what took decades, now is doubling just every few months. It's amazing. Amen? All right. So let's think about some things. Let's look at God's people in the Old Testament. Let's think about some things. And let's look at where we're at today. Because you and I were in a new covenant with better promises. Amen? Sister Tori, put Numbers 14:7 and then verse 8. But we'll read verse 7 first. Numbers 14:7-8. I want you to see something here. This is the children of Israel. They have a chance to go into the promised land. That's this Bible to you and I. The promises. Amen? And when they come back, they were all upset because of the giants. But look, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Now, this is what Joshua was telling them. But the Joshua and Caleb, they could see the promises and they could trust it. Tonight, you're getting to a place what God's doing in your life where you can see the promises. And as you see the promises, you're going to start receiving the benefits. Amen? In this land of walking in Christian, in this land of walking in fellowship with God, in this land of walking out these promises, it's a good land. It's a good land because your God is a good God. Amen? Now, verse number 8. If the Lord delight in us. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. How does the Lord delight in you? When you accept Jesus, you are accepted of the Beloved. Amen? And God delights in you. Can you imagine that? The Creator of heaven looks down at you and His heart jumps, if He had one. You know what I'm saying? His affection toward you is moved. And He's moved to you. Amen? If He delight in us, than He. Who's going to do it in your life? Who's going to do it in my life? God is. Amen. He will delight us. He will bring us, but He will delight in us, and He will bring us into this land and give it us. God wants to give you every benefit in this Bible. There's things in here that are so magnificent that I can't receive yet. But they're still there. And they're for me. They're for you, amen? But I'm going to get to that place, amen? You're going to get to that place. But He wants to take you and I to a land which has milk and honey. Oh, glory, glory, glory. You see, the world, they want to talk about the church, and they want to talk about the Christian, and they want to talk about the preacher, and they want to say that you should drive the oldest beat-up car, that you should wear the shoes that have got holes in them, that you should have nothing. And they get so jealous when God's church starts getting blessed. They get so jealous when God's people starts getting blessed. I'm prophesying to you in the name of Jesus. There's some blessings fixing to come. They're coming to those who are going to be in a place where they're delighting God and He's delighting in you. Amen? And you're going to have a blessing on your life, and that blessing is going to cause people to start talking. It's going to cause people to start looking. It's going to cause people to start questioning what is going on in the house of God. What is God up to? And they're going to come and they're going to investigate for themselves. Amen? Because you and I are not going to have a little bit. We're going to have all that we need to give to somebody else. Come on, there's a drought out there. There's a drought for hearing the Word of God. There's a drought for food. There's a drought for clothes. But Jesus Himself, He told you and I to go and clothe the naked. Amen? How can we clothe them if we don't have the money, if we don't have the clothes to do it? How can we take a truth to them if we don't have it? We got it! We are believers with benefits. And whatever need is presented to you and I, we have the ability, we have the authority, we have the anointing to bring it into their life. And all we've got to do is say, yes, Lord. And if we'll say yes to God, guess what? He'll back it up every time. God can get to people what He can get through you and I. Amen? It's a fact. Exodus 23:25, I believe it is. Exodus 23:25. This is where we got to believe this with all of our heart, and we're going to have to minister to people when they come into this house. Amen? Now notice what God says. Exodus 23:25. And ye, say, that's me. Oh, glory, shall serve the Lord your God. What does that mean? That means, God, what do you want me to do? You've done it all for me. Any little thing I can do for you, I'll do it. Amen? And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He might. Come on. Ooh! He shall bless thy bread and thy water. Now, I love this. I don't know about you, but as I'm dealing with different issues in my body, and you see the different effects that we're having on the food, we do not have a chance unless we ask God to bless our bread and bless our water. Come on, it's full of all kinds of chemicals. It's full of herbicides, pesticides. They have took and genetically modified our food. Don't you recognize and realize, I'm just going to say it just like it is. You can take it or believe it or not. But the same companies that make your medicine, make my medicine, are the same companies that's making the food. Now, does that not tell you something? They're warning you and I to be sick. But we got a God who promised us if we would serve Him, He would bless our bread. He would bless our water. What will He do? I will. Remember we said this is the surest affirmation that you can have in the English language. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Oh, glory. Now, this was under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament to people who aren't born again, to people who don't have the Holy Ghost like you and I do. And if God would do it for them, how much more will He do it for us in these last days? Amen? God wants you and I to expect to be healthy. The world has conditioned us. Well, that's just part of life. Now, come on, don't get mad at me. I'm telling you the truth. They have conditioned us. Well, you know, when you get that age. Really? The Bible says that Moses, God had to kill him to take him to heaven. Now, I understand when I say that tongue in cheek. The Bible says he was 120 years old. His eyes had not abated, nor his strength. And God just had to go and take him to heaven because he wasn't going to die. Now, come on now. Benefits. See, they condition us. Well, you know, time you get 50, these things start happening. And then more, when you get 60, just mark it down. And, well, you'll probably never draw much of your Social Security, you know, because they've raised the time that you sign up to it and the average. Come on. As a man, as a woman, think in their heart, so are they. Stop it. In the name of Jesus. We've got a job to do. We're going to be here till it's done. Amen? God's going to strengthen you. He's going to strengthen me because we got benefits. And we're going to finish the call that God Himself has placed on our life. Amen? Romans chapter 8. We'll come back to Galatians. Leave your place marked there in Galatians chapter 4. We may come back to that. We'll see how it goes. Romans chapter 8. Now, to be able to do what God is calling this church, calling this group of people to do, you and I cannot have any fear. I repented this morning in front of every one of you. I told you that I had been paralyzed by fear. It's not a shame to repent. Amen? There's power in repentance. God said if we confess our faults one to another, that we would be healed. Amen? And I trust my God. I know you trust Him or you wouldn't be here. Amen? Now, I want you to get excited with me tonight because there's going to be some things broke off some people. I believe it with all of my heart. And you can look at me like, well, I don't have any fear. I'm telling you, we need to be honest with God. Romans 8:15. Look what the Word of God says. For ye have not received, come on, he's talking to the church. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. Again, to what? To fear. The devil wants to keep you and I in fear. Well, what if I offend them? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I give this food to this person or this money to this person or this clothes? What am I going to do? Now, I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not taking up an offering. I'd never talk about money. I'm talking about what you do outside the church. Amen? Now, if you believe that God owns it all, come on, two scriptures, write it down. Psalms 24:1, 1 Corinthians 10:26. Paul quotes Psalms 24:1. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If God owns it, who do you belong to? Oh, my. See, as we think in our heart, so are we. Now, wait a minute. It gets better. Stay with me. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. Whereby you cry, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are, not going to be, not someday, not maybe, but we are right now, amen, the children of God. And if children, then heirs, mark it down, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. That's who you are. The benefits of God. Amen? Not someday, but right now. So we've got to take everything that's trying to put fear in our life. It's a bondage. It's a bondage, and recognize and realize that you are adopted into the family of God, that you are an heir of God, you're an heir with Christ, that everything that God done in and through Jesus, He wants to do in and through you. Amen? And don't you love it? You know, all the way the disciples, they left everything. Now, I'm not telling you to leave everything, but I'm telling you to trust God. But they left everything. Did they lack anything? Well, you and I, we can do what God called us to do, and we're going to be able to have the abundance of heaven to flow in our life. Just like some of the things that I'm getting so excited about that y'all are coming up with to do to help other people. You think God ain't going to bless that? He's going to bless it because you're wanting to bless others. You're wanting to help them. You're wanting to clothe them, feed them. You're wanting to give them what they need. God looks down and smiles, and He what? He dispatches angels on your behalf to bring into your life the things that you need, the things that you desire. Come on now. You can't outgive God. I can't outgive God. Glory. Now, what we've got to do is when the Spirit of God tells us, asks us, compels us to do something, if that fear starts rising, in the name of Jesus, you raise both hands. I do not have the spirit of fear. Amen. That bondage is gone. That bondage is under the feet of Jesus. I am a child of the Most High God. I'm a child of faith. Amen. I'm a son, a daughter of faith. And I have all power in my life because Jesus said I did. That's my benefit. Amen. That's what He's done for me. Now, if we get this stirring in our heart and we get to looking at it and we get to walking around and going, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. All of a sudden, we start seeing needs. We're not fearful about those needs. We're excited about them. Because we know those needs are going to be met by our God. But He has to work through you. Amen? He has to work through me. Okay, let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. We were in chapter 3. Let's see here. Galatians chapter 4. Well, there's so much we could read, but look what it says starting in verse number 5. Galatians 4 and 5. Jesus came to what? To redeem them, let's say that's me, that were under the law. You and I, we had no hope. We'd all sinned, and we was all going to die. But He gave us grace to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? Second witness, the adoption. Now, I want you to think about that. You and I, when we had children, or at least in my daughter's life, we didn't plan it. God just orchestrated it. But when you adopt a child, you go and you pick out that child. Now, I want you just to feel the love of God right now by the Spirit of God. God looked down at you, and He chose you. He chose me right where we were at. Think about it. He wasn't worried about the sin. He wasn't worried about the mistakes. He wasn't worried about the attitude. He looked at you and He loved you with an everlasting love. And He chose you out of the world for His own. Oh, my. And He's wanting to use you to bring in those others that are chosen. Amen? That's part of the benefits. Now, notice what it says. Verse number 6, and because ye are sons, your daughters, no gender intended, you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, into your spirit. The Holy Ghost is in your spirit, crying, Abba, Father. In other words, every situation of your life, the Spirit of God, whether you can hear Him or not, is going, Now, if God owns it all, and He's your Father, and you're a joint heir with Christ, an heir of God, what do you own? Believer benefits. Believer benefits. But what you're limited by, what I'm limited by, is what we know. That's all it is. Because notice, that's what this is about. Go back to verse number 1 in this fourth chapter. Paul says, now I say that the heir, say that's me, as long as he is a child, he or she is a child, they differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now think about it. Just like Corey was talking about Samantha. Samantha has a legal right to everything that Corey and Tori own. But he's not going to take her out there and put her behind the wheel of that Mazda. So she has to be under servitude to them until she grows up.
Now you grow up by the word. Amen. I grow up by the word. But look what happens. But verse number 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed. Until the time appointed. Come on now. Now my time appointed, God, I'm sure, was saying, boy, you've waited a long time. You've wasted a lot of time is what I thought. But he said, no, you learned in that period of time. You growed in that period of time. You matured in that period of time. Come on now. We're not going to let the devil browbeat us or discourage us. Not one thing we've done has been wasted because our God is a redeemer. He redeems the time, amen? And he commands me and you to redeem it. And we have an anointing, the Holy Ghost, Ephesians chapter 5, that helps us to redeem the time. And so it's the time. It's the time tonight for all bondage of fear to be broke off your life. All bondage of fear to be broke off my life. It's the time. It's the time to recognize and realize that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. That you have a benefit. And that benefit is that God will bless you. That God will put in your life what is needed to put into other people's life. Because there's people hurting. They're without knowledge. They're without love. They're without the natural things of life. But God wants to use us to meet the needs. Now notice what happened. Verse number 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Come on now. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, when I growed up, I put away childish things. Come on now. Now, right now, you've got to see that you are a mature person in Jesus Christ. You've got to see that God has brought you to where you're at and cast everything that the devil says, whispers to you, cast it down. Don't believe it. Don't allow it to even cross across the bud of your mind a second time because it's a lie. God loves you. You have power. You have authority. You have ability that is anointed by the Holy Ghost that is beyond this world that will deliver the very reality of God, His plan, into this world. You've got to believe it. Amen? Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage. But what did He say? You've not received the Spirit. We read there in Romans 8. Wait just a second. Let me turn there and read it. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage. You're not in bondage anymore. Amen? Amen. Now, somebody listen to me. When the same old scenario repeats in your life, you don't have to do the same thing. Now, I'm not looking at anybody because I'm just telling you, okay? You don't have to. The devil's a liar. Because you are God's child. And that anointing is on you. That bondage is broken. Amen? You can do something different for His glory. Amen? All right. Now, look what happens. Verse number 4. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, verse 5, to redeem them. Come on now, what we were talking about. This is the time. This is the time. You are considered in God's eyes Jesus in the earth. Now, when we say that, boy, you get religious people, they get in an uproar. Because we've got to see who we are where we can do what we've been called. Jesus went through the very same thing. They went to question Him because He was comparing Himself to His Father. And then He had to take Him to Scripture and He said, you know Scripture so well. He said, what about where the psalmist wrote, ye are gods. Little g. In the big G. Amen. Come on now. Because you have the authority. What you say, according to God's word, God will back it up. Amen. That's your benefit. That's my benefit. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to get excited with me now, because I want you to leave here so encouraged. Let's look at, for just a second, let's look at what it says. I want you to know who you are. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. Now, the greatest thing you can do in your life is to pray and give God thanks for verses 16 through 23. These verses will change your life because you'll be open to who you really are. Amen? But look at verse 18. This is what God says about you. The first part of the verse, let me just read it. But the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory, and notice this, of His inheritance in the saints. Now, did that register with you? God says that you are Jesus' inheritance. Now, that's heavy. The God who owns the whole world is giving His Son you. Oh, I don't think you're getting it. God doesn't own it all. Jesus owns it all. But what does Jesus want? He wants you. I can barely stand under thinking of that. Amen? God Almighty is giving Jesus what He wants. Jesus died that you could be His inheritance. Amen? Oh, glory. So what's the believer's benefits of that? That brings you back to the reality that because Jesus owns it all, you own it all. And let's look at some of this. Verse number 3, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when has He done it? Who hath, when is that? Done. Who hath blessed us with some, oh my, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Wait a minute. Man, if I was just in Christ. Oh, wait a minute. We are. We are Christ. And we have put on Christ, it said, because we've been baptized in Him into His body. And so that means not some, but all spiritual blessings has your name on it, has my name on it. Believers' benefits. What's the blessing? The blessing is every place there's a curse working in your life, it's a lie. Jesus came to redeem you and I from the curse. And to bring the blessing on us. So every place there's a curse in your life, every place there's not peace in your home, every place there's lack in your life, every place there is a working of a devil in your life, every place that there's sickness, every place that there's a heartache, every place that there's something that is not in order, we serve a God who is a God of order. Amen? The devil, this world is a God, the little g, the little god of disorder. Come on now. You have the authorization to say, wait a minute. God, I need my inheritance in this. I need my benefit. I need my benefit in this. I'm lacking in this. I got to be so careful. Don't settle for less than God's best. Don't look at the situation and go, there is no way God can fix this. Don't do that. Don't do it. Amen? You know the situation with my family. Come on. But God, it's not above God's hands. And so it's not out of God's hands in your family. I want you to believe for God putting the impossible back together. I want you to believe that God can. I want you to believe that God said that when your ways please Him, how does your ways please Him? You're just trying your best to serve God. Are you going to be perfect? No. But you're trying with your heart. Your heart to serve God. Amen. That's it. When your ways please Him, He said He would make your enemies at peace with you. Come on now. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you need to
speak over some things where the enemy's working in your life, and you need to say, God, you give me an inheritance. You give me a benefit. And right now, I receive my inheritance. My enemies are going to be at peace with me in this situation in the name of Jesus. There are going to be restoration of relationships. There are going to be things put back together, God, that only you can do. You're going to open the doors of hearts. You're going to reunite what seems to be forever destroyed. Come on now. We're talking about changing some things because we believe God and we say what God says. We can't get something different if we keep saying the same thing. Amen? I pray that the Spirit of God is... there's some things on my heart so heavy, but I'm afraid to say it. Because I don't want anybody to be hurt, or don't you think I'm talking out of my head? I want you to receive this by the Spirit of God. God wants to do a miracle. He is a miracle-working God. You know His name? One of His names is Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord will provide. Oh, my. Somebody else needs to take the inheritance of peace. I don't know who you are, but you have no peace in a certain situation, and you need to look up to God and say, God, you are my Jehovah Shammah. You are the God that has promised me peace. Amen. And I receive my inheritance right now. I receive it, and I ask you to blanket this situation in the peace of God. Amen. Oh, Shanalabata Sita Melika Sunday. Verse number 4, Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us. Now look, this is your benefit. As God has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now before the devil whispers in your ear, what God calls holy, no man can call unholy. And when the devil tries to bring up something, laugh at him. Say, no, Father, my father, devil, has given me an inheritance. And that inheritance is that God Himself has made me holy and without blame. There's going to be people coming here and they're going to be hurting. They have left churches because people have condemned them and told them that they are not what God wants them to be. Who said so? Only God can read the heart. And God's building you up. He's showing you who you are and what you can do. When they come through these doors, when you meet them on the street, when you meet them at town, at work, well, you can speak a word to them that'll break the bondage off of them. Amen? Oh, glory. God's getting sick. And I just tell you. There's some judgment fixing to fall on the so-called churches of God. Because they're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching something entirely different. And they're looking for money. Looking for all the wrong things. And you're going to see it. And when the judgment falls on these situations that I'm speaking about, and you'll see it, you'll see other people that will flock to little churches. They'll flock to people that they know that's real. And that's why you've got to be in your place and know the benefits. Amen? Oh, glory. Okay. Notice this. That He chose you that you should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Your inheritance, your benefit is love. You're born out of love. Now, I need to know that. Because they exactly wouldn't love like what I would like to have in my home. And I'm sure every one of us has dealt with things where the love wouldn't like what it should have been. But in God's home, God's house, there's perfect love. And remember, we're living out of that. Hallelujah. You want me to hurry or go on? I want you to be encouraged, but I don't want to bore you. But notice this. It says in verse number 5, this having predestinated us. Now, Brother Donnie and I, we love this verse. But what does that mean? That means that from, like Brother Donnie said this morning, from the foundation of the world, Jesus died for you and I to make us just like Him. just like him. Now, the devil tells me, the flesh tells me how far I am away from him. But God doesn't look at the flesh. He looks at the spirit. And remember, the spirit of God is in your spirit, breaking off that bondage of fear. Because if you're fearful of who you are, then you'll never do what you could do. Amen? All right. Verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath, this is your benefit, the believer's benefit, he hath made us accepted, as we said earlier, in the beloved. And do you know what that means? When Christ stamped you with his blood, God sent the Holy Ghost and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with redemption. But see, so many times we spend 15, 20, 30 minutes, oh God, trying to get worthy to pray. And that may just be me. And I've got to stop that mindset, that attitude. As soon as I come to God by the blood of Jesus, I'm in the throne of grace. You're in the throne of grace. Amen? That's our benefit. That's our inheritance. Because we're accepted. Now notice what it says. Because of this being accepted. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. This is your benefit. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace. The forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace. The forgiveness of sins. You're going to sin. God's grace is richer. It's not a license to sin, but it's the ability to overcome sin. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. See, the devil wants to keep us in a religious deal where, well, now, wait a minute. You thought this or you said that. You better not do anything for God. You better just pull back and don't do anything for God for a certain period of time. And we'll see if you act good enough, dress good enough, then we'll restore you. Since I'm just nitpicking and it's the dumbest thing in the world. Oh, this will get me in trouble. It's the dumbest thing in the world where they have men come to restore a preacher. Oh, we're going to restore him back. Really? Did you put him there? And you can't restore him. Now, you and I, we can help a brother and sister. We can help them, point them to who they are and point them to the grace. But Jesus is the one. He restores the breach. He fills in that gap. Amen? And it's according to the richness of his grace. God owns it all. Amen? His grace is abundant. Come on now. We need to learn to live and walk in that grace. Glory. Oh, the grace of God is sufficient. It is enough. It will cause us to overcome. All right. Now notice this, verse number 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What's my benefit? The wisdom of God. Prudence. Prudence means I know how to behave myself. I know how to act. I know how to talk when the enemy's around. You know how to act. You know how to talk when the enemy's around. You have the wisdom of God in you. That's your benefit. Instead of going, oh God, now, can I just let you in my life, okay? You just come into my life just for a minute. Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God, what am I going to do? Oh, I've prayed all week. I've sought you all week. Well, these people are expecting a message. What am I going to do? Oh, Jesus. Get to church and don't even need it. Why did I not need it? If I'd have listened beforehand, he'd have said, hey, I know what I'm going to do. Just let me do it. Amen? James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, any woman lack wisdom, ask God, who'll give it to you how? Liberally. And he upbraideth not. Amen? Because it's your inheritance. Now let's think about this just for a minute. Jesus made this statement. In the Gospel of Matthew, he said,
I command my servants to be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. Why? Because it's your benefit. Now, that was a good place to shout and just give God glory. He said, you're to be wiser than the serpent. Now, Genesis 3:1 says that the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. But yet, here you are, because of the Holy Ghost in you, you are wiser. You have a benefit. A benefit to be wiser than the devil. So when the devil tries to tell you, you don't know what to do. What are you going to do? You're at your wit's end. Now, I said that, and immediately something came to my mind. I did not say that because somebody said that to me. Okay? I tell you what, when people talk to you, and then they think you're preaching out. I'm not preaching at nobody. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What was I talking about? Yes. We've got to know who we are, what our inheritance is. You are wiser than the serpent. Because it's your benefit. It's your inheritance. So here's the deal. You go, God, I don't know whether to take this job. I don't know whether to move to this location. I don't know whether you would have me to do this. I don't know whether you'd have me to do that. But my benefit is that you said that you would give me wisdom. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I receive my inheritance. In my spirit, you're downloading wisdom right now. I receive it, and you will cause it to come up from my spirit into my soul. And when it hits my soul, then my body will know what to do. Amen? Come on, God's wanting to help us. He's wanting to make you the most successful group of people. I'm telling you, if you could see what I see, if you're listening by the Spirit of God, there's some things that's going to happen. It's going to blow you away. You're going to, in a short period of time, you're going to look back and you're going to say, oh, my God. My God, my God, my God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do. I believe you more and more because the benefits of God is fixing to fall. Not because God's changed or because He's held them back. It's because you're getting ready. It's the fullness of time. You're getting ready to receive. You're growing up. He can trust you with them. He can trust me with them. Amen? It's what's going to happen. Okay. Notice this. Verse number 9. Having made known unto us. Now mark this down. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. That's your benefit. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, if I just knew what God's will was. Then y'all ain't been at my house. Come on, that's your benefit. That's your inheritance. Amen? Having, now that's past tense. Sister Michelle done said that. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now think about that. It's God's good pleasure for you to know His will. See, the devil says, boy, you better fast 40 days and not cuss or think a bad thought for 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is. He puts a limitation on it. And maybe you might just be able to get a word from God. Do you realize God never stops talking? I just stop listening. It's not Him, it's me. But I want to change that. Amen? Okay. All right. There's so much here, but I know we can't go over it. But drop down to verse number 11. In whom we have obtained, as we read earlier, an inheritance, past tense, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now think about this. You've got a purpose. Do you realize I talk to people and you talk to people all the time and they don't know what their purpose is? Come on now, let's talk to each other. It's the truth. They say, well, I'd like to do this, but I don't know. I'd kind of like to do that, but I don't know. And they try this and they try that and it never works out. When all they got to do is say, God, I'm ready to receive my inheritance. my benefit? Show me what my purpose is. Now, can I tell you in all honesty? Every fiber of my flesh, I would run. I'm being honest with you. I don't like this. I don't like being up here. I don't like the responsibility. Come on. But we're not living out of the flesh. We're living out of the Spirit. Amen? So it's okay. It's okay. Just tell God, God, I need a little help here. The flesh is rising up. It's causing me some problems. And God will help us. Amen? He'll help us. Now, there's so much here, but we won't cover it. But I got to look at one thing. This is how you make sure it comes to pass. Let's read a couple, two verses in Romans 4 first, and then we'll go to Hebrews 6, I think. Romans chapter 4. Look at Abraham. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 20. Now notice this. Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God. See, tonight what we're talking about is pretty overwhelming because it's so contrary to what we've been taught our whole life. It's so contrary to what the world says. The world says you get them before they get you. The world says take care of yourself or you won't have nothing. Jesus says give and it'll be given back. The world says if I don't take care of me first, God says, put me first. Come on, everything. He staggered not. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Now look what faith does. Giving glory to God. Your faith, my faith, in what God has promised you, gives him glory. Now notice verse 21. And he, Abraham, being fully persuaded what he had promised, what God had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. Now that word able, it's a miracle. It's the miracle working God. Amen? It's the dunamis power of God. Now I want you to know that that dunamis power of God, that's the anointing that is in your spirit. Now, if Abraham, being 99 years old, and Sarah, being 90 years old, could believe God for a child, under the old covenant, what can you believe God for under the new covenant, established on better promises? God wants you to have the desire that he has put in you. Amen? I hear the Spirit of God saying, stop settling for less than my best. We'll never get God's best as long as we settle for what's less. Amen? What did Abraham do? He tried what was less, and he ended up with an Ishmael instead of an Isaac. And that's what our problem in the world is today. Let's don't settle. Let's get the promise. Let's get the Isaac. Amen? Okay, let's close. Here's how we do it. Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is. I think it's verse 12. Now, sometimes if you've got time, there's just 20 verses. Meditate on these 20 verses. They will build your faith. They will elevate you to a stronger place in Jesus. But look at verse number 12. This is what we've got to tell God. God, I won't be slothful. That you be not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience. How do you bring your inheritance? Through faith and patience inherit the promises. That you be not slothful. In other words, you do your part, God will do his. Amen? Abraham had to go. Now listen very carefully by the Spirit of God, and don't you listen to me, but you listen by the Spirit of God. God told Abraham, get out away from your family, your kindred. Leave your house. Go to where I tell you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you an exceeding great and mighty nation. But just like you and I, he only partially obeyed. He took Lot, his nephew, with him. God couldn't bless him like he wanted to because he didn't do what he told him to do. So Lot goes along with him. And because Lot is with him, Lot is blessed. All the blessing on Abraham is on Lot. Until Lot decides to make a bad decision. Amen. We all know the story. But did you notice that soon as Lot separated from Abraham, God come and he spoke to Abraham. He said, look. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. As far as the eye can see, walk this out. As far as you can walk, everything you see is yours. By the Spirit of God tonight, if you'll say yes to some things that God is asking you to change, the anointing of God is going to break the spirit of fear bondage off of you, off of me. We're going to walk into some promises that we never dreamed possible. But we've got to be willing to leave some things behind. But guess what? God never asked you to leave something without giving you something so much better. Amen? I wrote this verse down. 1 Chronicles 16:11 in the ESV says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Seek His presence continually. See, if we're in the presence of the Lord, we're in a place where we see our inheritance. We see our benefit. Amen? When I get alone with the enemy, all I can see is what I don't have. Now, I don't know how it's happening in your life, but I know that as I pray, that it just seems like the enemy is doing so many things in our lives covertly, underneath the covers, you know, stealthily. And I think God wants to do some things tonight in our life and break those off. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. Lord, I thank you for your word that you have spoke to us tonight. And I thank you that you have the people here who are destined, ordained to be forever changed. I ask that by the Spirit of God, that if there's anything that we're fearful about, if there's anything that there's bondage in operation in our life, that as we yield it, we confess it, we give it to you, that the anointing will come on and destroy that, break that off. And Lord, we'll come into these benefits. We'll start learning how to pray. We'll start learning how to expect. We'll start learning how to reject what the enemy has to get what you have for us. Father, let it be. Lord, right now, there's some that need to have wisdom of decisions to make. Well, they have a benefit. They have an inheritance of wisdom. There's some that are struggling with what and where the desire come from. Lord, show them. There's others who want to do what you've called them to do, but they're fearful. They're fearful that they'll make a mistake. They're fearful that they won't do the right thing. Let that be broke off forever. There's others who want to step deeper into your will and your plan, but they don't see how it's possible. Lord, impart unto them that vision of reality and truth. Oh, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, if anything's done, it'll be done by your Spirit. And all the glory goes to you in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Lord God, I want the fullness. I want my inheritance in this situation. It's between you and the Lord. But if there's any area in your house, in your life, Now, there's somebody here, you have a call on your life, and you are kicking against the pricks. God's dealt with you tenderly and gingerly. But by the Spirit of God, He's saying, it's time. It's time. See, in the center of God's will, there's a place of protection. There's a good will of God, Romans 12:2. There's an acceptable will of God. You've been in the acceptable will of God. But after a period of time, that acceptable will of God comes into an unacceptable. See, it's progressive. God wants us into His perfect will. And tonight's the night that you say, Lord, okay, I give you myself. Now break this spirit of fear off me. And I'll do what you ask me to do. And I want to encourage somebody else here. You've had a vision that was so great and so exciting, and it come from God. But time has elapsed, things has happened, and the enemy has lied and said, see, that wasn't really God. That's not true. The devil's a liar. Where there's no vision, God said, my people perish. You hold on to that vision. You thank God for it every day, and it's going to come to pass. Come on, don't be bashful. Come and make you an altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's time. It's time. Yes, He's talking to you. He's talking to you. Yes, the Spirit of God is talking to you. Hallelujah.